In our last lesson, we discussed what it meant to be born again, and we started talking about that in our spirit, our heart was changed. We began to discuss some of this. We were using a scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that says that if you're in Christ, you become a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new, and all things are of God. And we begin to discuss that when a person gets born again, there is a total transformation that takes place in their spirit. And the only way you can really know what has transpired in your spirit is through the Word of God. You can't perceive it through external things. You can't perceive it just through your emotions, because that's in the soulish realm. But in the spirit part of you, there is a total transformation. Let me read a scripture to you out of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." This is saying to believers that we aren't supposed to act as an unbeliever, a person that doesn't have God in our heart, walking only in the vanity of our mind. Did you know that God changes your heart, and that you don't have to operate just out of your mental ability, that you can operate out of your spirit? In your spirit, there is an untold reservoir of God's ability and power, His wisdom, and all of these kind of things. But we, first of all, have to know that this has been deposited in us. In verse 18, it says that if you walk in just the vanity of your mind, then that darkens your understanding. You know, knowledge is talking about just your mental ability. But when you start talking about your heart and the spirit, what's been placed in it, then there is understanding. There's a supernatural wisdom of God. And it says that if you're walking only in your mind, then your understanding is darkened, and you are alienated from the life of God which is in you through the blindness or the hardness of your heart. And so we've got to get out of just perceiving things based only on our mental ability, and we've got to begin to understand and let our spirit speak to us. Once again, the scripture I use, John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So God's Word is how we perceive what is taking place in our spirit. Let me just use a few scriptures here to show you some things that took place when a person receives Jesus into their life. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, I'm breaking right into the middle of this, but it says, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When a person gets born again, this spirit part of them becomes righteous and truly holy. The Bible actually speaks of two different types of righteousness, which I don't have time to go into, but there is a righteousness that we produce through our own actions and through our own thoughts. And you must maintain that type of righteousness in relationships with other people. If you don't live right and do right, your boss may fire you. Your husband or your wife may divorce you. So yes, you need to have your own self-righteousness. But when it comes to God, God doesn't deal with you based on this external righteousness. There is a righteousness that took place in your spirit that just literally God gave you His righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that God the Father made the Son to become sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So in your spirit, there is a righteousness that goes far beyond your external righteousness based on what you do. And it's based on what God did for you. You literally receive the righteousness of God. And that's what this verse is talking about. You were created in righteousness and true holiness. You aren't growing into being righteous. But in your spirit, you're already righteous. Or, as a simple definition of that is, you're already in right standing with God. God's pleased with you based on the Spirit, not on anything else. Now, a verse that really makes this come alive is John chapter 4 and verse 24. And in that passage, Jesus was speaking to a woman at the well in Samaria, and He said in John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Now again, see, our spirit's where the change took place in us. We're already created in righteousness and true holiness. We're a brand new creature. According to Ephesians chapter 2, we are the workmanship of Christ, created by Him unto good works. In your spirit, you're perfect. You're complete. There is no sin. There's no inadequacy. Also, it says in Ephesians chapter 1 that once you believe, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Some of you may think, well, when I first believed on the Lord, I did believe I was totally forgiven and cleansed and everything was fine. But since that time, I've sinned. I failed God again. But see, if you did, you failed in your actions, in your mental, emotional part, but your spirit did not sin. That's not the part of you. It was sealed, just like a woman puts fruit into a jar, an airtight jar, and then puts paraffin over it, and they seal it. They keep all impurities out. God sealed you so that when you got born again, you received a new spirit. And when you sin, that sin does not penetrate your spirit. You have a new identity. And the scripture here in John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. And God looks at your spirit. And for you to have a relationship with God, you have to fellowship with Him, worship Him based on who you are in your spirit, not in your flesh. This is really the great transformation in the Christian life, is that a person has to change their identity. And when it comes to relating to God, you've got to get to where you relate to Him based on not what you do in your physical realm, not just what you think in your mind, but you have to start relating to Him based on who you are in the Spirit, based on what God has done for you. And that's a completed work. It's something that does not fluctuate. So you were created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the Spirit part of you. And to fellowship with God, you have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You have to stand in this identity of who you are in Christ. Another scripture goes along with this is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. And in that passage, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. For as He is, so are we in this world." It's talking about as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Now, some people read a scripture like that and they think, boy, the Bible is so hard to understand, because you look at yourself and you know you aren't like Jesus. You know you aren't acting perfectly. You still get upset and irritable and you have times that you just blow it. So some people say, well, the Bible is so hard to understand. But see, this isn't talking about your physical body. Your physical body isn't like Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we now have a mortal body, but we are going to have to change it in for an immortal body. We have a corruptible body. It's going to have to become incorruptible. And so the physical body is not yet changed. Your soul isn't completely changed, because 1 Corinthians 13 says that now we only know in part and we only prophesy in part. But then someday we will know all things, even as also we are known. Your mind isn't completely changed, but in your spirit, you are a totally brand new creature. Everything has been changed. And like this verse says, as He is, so are we. And it didn't say, so are we going to be someday in the future. It says, so are we in this world. Now, some people sing songs about when we all get to heaven. Further along, we'll know all about it. In the sweet by and by. And praise God for heaven. But did you know 1/3 of your salvation is complete right now? Your spirit is as saved as it'll ever be. When you get to heaven, it's not going to be changed again. It's not going to have to be refurbished. It's not going to be infused with more power, more life. But you have living on the inside of you right now, God Almighty in your spirit. And that is exactly how this verse can say, as He is, so are we in this world. The only way to understand that, it has to be talking about your spirit man. Over in Romans chapter 8, there's a passage, I believe it's verse 17. In verse 17 it says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with God, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Notice it didn't say the glory which shall be revealed to us. Some people think that when they get to heaven, then all of a sudden God is going to change them into somebody who has victory and power and all of these things. It's more accurate to say that when we get to heaven, this glory is going to be revealed in us. It was in us all along. If you are born again, if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord, you have God Almighty living on the inside of you. And He didn't come in partially. You didn't get just a little bit of God. But in your spirit, you are identical. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, "He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." And the word one there, the Greek word that was used is Heis, H-E-I-S, and it means a singular one to the exclusion of another. In other words, it's not talking about that we're one in purpose or there's a unity, but it's talking about that there is a singular one to the exclusion of another. In your spirit has been recreated. It is totally new, and everything that is true of God is true of the born-again believer's spirit. You have the same power, the same knowledge, the same joy, the same peace, the same everything. And the rest of the Christian life is just an education of your brain so that you believe and that you begin to start believing that and acting accordingly. And as much as you believe and act according to who you are in the Spirit, then you can see it manifest in your life. And I tell you, that's what many, many Christians are missing. And that's what I want to leave with you today, is that you have a new identity. I pray that God would open up your heart and show you that you're a new person, that you would get into the Word of God and begin to find out what is truly yours in Christ Jesus. Believe it, act like it, and release this life of God through you.